Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Should we get together, or should we, you know, band? What's the word I'm looking for?
Assimilate.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello, hi.
Out Now is a film podcast. Today, I'm now discussing new movies weekly. We cover some various movie topics, jump into a mostly spoiler-free review, then jump back into other fun movie topics. This is episode 190. 190.
10 more to go.
Until?
Until, you know...
Justice.
Yes. Dawn of Justice.
That, yeah. Dawn of Justice, Genesis, Age of Adeline.
Yeah.
Got it.
Starring Blake Lively.
What are we talking about? This week's episode is The Avengers. It's Avengers: Woo! Age of Ultron. We've made it. We've made it to the beginning of the summer movie season.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know where to get on this one, because I had all these like different guests set up for this show, all these different introductions written, all these things prepared, and now
we're
down.
You could still say them.
I could.
They'll know what they were missing out on.
We're down to just one now. It's okay. It's one of my favorite ones. We have, from the Beverly Press, the one who eats his own Marvel junk food only on occasion. It's Jonathan Van Dyke.
Hey-o!
Jonathan! You made it! Yeah!
It's me, Mario.
After various audio battles to get Jonathan onto this phone call, we've done it. We've got him here to talk Avengers: Age of Ultron. Yeah, just Jonathan, apparently. That other people lined up, didn't work out for various reasons. One involved Scott Mendelsohn and his impending child that's on the way. So things will work out.
Wow, really digging deep.
We're happy about that. So let us know how it goes, Scott.
Things are working out for him. It's just, you know, yeah. I understand. It's fine. We're trying to find other last-minute replacements. No one's responding. Just, you know, it's Sunday night. It's a busy night. Game of Thrones and Mad Men and all the things in between happen tonight, so it makes sense.
It's true.
I know. That's literally the reason. It's not like there's a Pacquiao Mayweather fight or something going on. That'd be ridiculous.
Maybe people are watching Last Man on Earth. I don't know.
That's at 9:30. I mean, we record this show before that, so I mean.
Fine. I don't know when things actually are. I just let my DVR do the work.
Anyway, we talk movies on this podcast, and I guess I should announce this since this is fairly new. If everything has gone according to how Abe and I think it should have gone, we should now be on a new network of sorts. We should be on the Rant network, based off my new job writing for Rant. The podcast has been essentially acquired and moved on from HHWLOD and onto Rant. And if that has not happened with this episode, it will happen probably within the next episode.
Pretty soon.
Regardless, anyone listening to this is either listening through iTunes or now through Audio Boom. We are no longer going to be hosting through Podomatic or SoundCloud, I believe, for the time being. We're still kind of shaking some stuff out.
We'll have some stuff to figure out, but yeah.
Yeah, we're still figuring some stuff out. But for all the new listeners out there, hey, welcome.
Hello.
And for everyone else, ideally, iTunes, the feed there has not shifted, and you should be able to download this one easily, and you should have been able to find this podcast very easily and quickly and well. So, good, right? Yeah?
Pretty sure that they're on board.
Good. Well, with that said, given that we are on iTunes, it'd be great to get more reviews and ratings. If you log on to iTunes and search for our show, Out Now with Aaron and Abe, you can log on to iTunes, you can write us a review, give us a little star rating. Doesn't take very much time, doesn't have to be a very long review, just something to, you know, help promote our show. Helps other people find it and everything like that. So it'd be
thank you in advance.
Exactly. What else? All kinds of stuff as we get underway with things. New commentary track is coming soon. It's a new month, the month of May, which of course means that we will be doing a new commentary for a certain movie that will tie into another movie coming out this month.
Pearl Harbor.
I don't even know where that came from.
Nope.
But
Memorial Day.
But yeah, so something is coming soon in the form of a new commentary, and should be an exciting one. Okay. Let's see, what else? Our last episode, the annual summer box office gamble, that is where Abe and myself, along with a few others, so we all picked what we think are going to be the top 10 highest grossing films of the summer from a domestic box office standpoint. That was a fun episode to do, and feel free to check that one out if you haven't already, because we certainly give basically a big summer preview that just happens to have a competition tied to it.
Pretty much, yeah. And if you also want to submit your own top 10 list, feel free. We'd love to have it.
Yeah, email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com or go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast. All right. All that aside, let's move on now. Let's get to know everybody. We each week we ask each other a question, try to set the tone for the podcast, or better get to know everybody. Abe, why don't you start this one off?
All right. So if you guys had your own hammer or object in which only you could wield, what would it be?
Here, I'll do. I would wield one of those, like, American Gladiator things where they knock each other off the
podium.
Oh,
those baton things?
Yeah, where it has, like, the thing on both sides,
though. Only you could wield that. I like that.
And
then, like that concept.
And it would be, like, but it'd be, like, more hardcore.
Did Ethan Anderton just join this phone call?
Ethan?
I all of a sudden, I had a call that and I accepted it.
Yeah!
This is live.
I'm sorry about that. I got your message. I could have sworn you said 11 p.m. my time, which is right now. So I just logged on.
You know what? I think you're. I think I confused which time zone you're in. That's what I had to guess right now.
Yeah, I'm in Central Time.
You're 2 hours ahead, not 3 hours ahead, which is why I was freaking out. Well, now I could read the fancy intro that I wrote for you. Joining us now, formerly a first showing, and now joining the Age of Slashtron, it's Ethan Anderton.
Hooray!
Good timing. We had so much trouble getting to this point in the podcast anyway. We barely started, so
perfect.
You're perfectly on time.
Fantastic.
No worries. So yeah, Ethan, things have changed for you. You were at first showing, and now you're not anymore.
I was, that's right. I was the managing editor there, and now... I am moving over to Slashfilm and joining the crew over there.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
Great.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm pretty excited. I start tomorrow.
Very cool. Well, you're right on time for this podcast. Abe, what was your question again? Why don't you repeat that one? I hope listeners enjoy this ridiculousness that we have going on.
No, the ridiculousness is what we're all about. Yeah. My question to everybody was, if you could only wield one object, or if there was one object that only you could wield, what would it be? Almost like Thor's hammer. And John had the Gladiators TV show baton thing where you can knock people off of the stands into the water.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say a Nerf Vortex.
Nerf Vortex.
You know, the one that screams, too. Remember the Vortex?
not the one that lights up at night?
It would do both. It's the ultimate Vortex.
Oh, there you go. It's a big deal.
I thought so.
Not bad.
I feel like mine would have to be a lightsaber.
A lightsaber only you could wield.
Yeah, exactly.
How often do other people wield? I mean, isn't like Han the only person that's like a non-Jedi that's wielded a lightsaber?
In the movies, at least, yeah.
Yeah, in the movies, I guess, yeah. Cinematically speaking, of course.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a question. Since we've done that one.
Oh, so you're not going to answer it, Aaron?
I did. I said I'm nervous. You're nerd talking vortex. While I say my answer.
Oh.
Would you pipe down a bit that I can hear my answer?
He's had a hard night. Leave him alone.
I know. My audio settings didn't work.
Here's my question. What do you want from the next Avengers movie?
A really cool pop music soundtrack.
Yep.
Yeah.
When you say pop music soundtrack, do you mean like relevant pop or like just like a throwback pop soundtrack?
A little bit of both. And then in retrospect, now I'm just like, I wish that they would just have like a drum soundtrack. Like Birdman or Whiplash, yeah. So much angst in those notes.
The next Avengers movie, I would like a substantial villain. Not that we haven't had, you know, a couple of substantial villains, but that's Marvel's biggest problem. So I would like Thanos to really live up to this long lead up that he's getting.
You say that, and I feel like the Avengers movies are the ones that had the best villains so far.
They have. Loki and Ultron are definitely the two best villains. Otherwise, you could put any sort of bad guy in the slot of the villains in any of the other Marvel movies. And...
Well, who can forget Thor the Dark World's, you know, that guy?
Yeah.
You know, him.
You know,
John.
The Doctor himself.
Johnny Thor's. Why Thor is so angry, because he had the same name, I think. That's Malekith? I think I just pulled that one out of nowhere. Malekith.
Right.
There you go.
Malekith.
Christopher Eccleston is Malekith.
Well, what's that giant boar that helps him out a lot? I don't know.
He plays Killer Croc now in the Suicide Squad. I don't know that. It's that one name that has three A's that I can't.
Adewale Yawashadokamadeo?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You win Jeopardy.
And like, Abe, you know I'm good at the names, but that's the one that's the tricky
that's
one.
That's the one that
that's
escapes.
The one that throws me up.
Next week you'll have it down, Pat.
John, do you want something for the next Avengers?
I want Joss Whedon to reconsider and do the next one.
Oh, man, I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
We'll get to that. We'll get to this because of what John thinks about Marvel movies versus what some of you guys might think about Marvel movies. But all right. Well, good. That's how we play.
No, everybody.
All right. Let's do a little Out Now Quickies.
TM.
Each week on Out Now, we have one main movie of the week that we talk about. We also have the movies that we see during the week. That's why that's 7 o'clock Out Now Quickies.
TM.
I had that. That's good.
That's pretty good.
Abe, have you seen any other movies this week?
I did. I watched this movie called Mayweather vs. Pacquiao. I'd say that the characters aren't really fleshed out that well. You know, in terms of being the adventure things that Ethan was just talking about, the villain not really that much in depth. Action was minimal. And for the most part, it wasn't as long as I thought it was going to be. So, you know, it is what it is.
Did you pay for that?
I did with a few friends, yes.
Sounds like everybody paid for that because I heard it's garbage.
Yeah, I did. It was.
I wish like the lights went out during the fight and then like mass or, you know, like a riot erupted. That's the plot of
Snake Eyes. Just like Ocean's 11?
No, like Snake Eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
It was or like Ocean's 11. I forgot it happens in Ocean's 11. The fight's really not that interesting in Ocean's 11. I forgot there's a fight in that movie.
Lennox Lewis is in there, and Lennox Lewis is in Mayweather the First Pacquiao as well.
There you go.
And Wayne Newton.
Especially Wayne Newton. Ethan, have you seen any other movies this week?
Yeah, I saw While We're Young last week, actually.
Yeah, did you like it?
I did enjoy it. The third act was not at all what I was expecting, and I mean that in a very positive way, because it could have been just another like clash of, you know, younger people and other people coming to terms with their middle age, but it was it kind of had a lot of interesting things to say about the perspective each group of aged people has on the other and the misconceptions about it. I thought it was very good.
John, how about you?
I just watched on video or whatever you want to call it, I guess DVD, A Most Violent Year. And I thought, you know, it was interesting, but as far as kind of slow burn dramas go, I just thought it was also kind of boring and didn't quite hit me the way I hoped. I was talking earlier with these guys. A reverse of that for me was Foxcatcher. For some reason, I found riveting, even though it's the same kind of slow, boring, dark type of movie. So I really don't know why I like one movie or the other movie when it comes to those. But yeah,
do you think if you were a better person, you would have liked The Most Violent Year?
Whoa!
Questioning his character? What?
That's fired.
I don't kid. Even know you can means. Like whatever you want to like. I'm just a huge fan of Most Violent Year.
Man, I didn't dislike it Most Violent Year, but it's the first movie I've seen in a long time where like the critique of it insists upon itself absolutely rings true.
I know.
I'm also like 3/4 of the way through A Fault in Our Stars or whatever.
It's can't get right. enough. You're like, you know, you're taking I'm, it in like a
hey, I ride for Shailene.
You can't
I ride
get
for
enough.
Shailene. So that's where I'm at. What?
Well, I hope you continue to enjoy The Fault in Our Stars.
Don't spoil it.
I won't spoil it. But are you watching it week by week to prepare yourself for Paper Towns? Is that the plan?
You caught me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I was at the Newport Beach Film Festival this past week. I think people that listen to this show know that I cover that festival yearly. And I've actually written a whole roundup of reviews over at ranthollywood.com. But I got to see a number of movies, including Russell Crowe's The Water Diviner. This is his directorial debut. And not bad. Not great. It's about Russell Crowe in World War I going after his 3 sons who were all in the Battle of Gallipoli. And he wants to find out what happened to him. And there's some really gorgeous cinematography, actually gorgeous cinematography by Andrew Lesney, a cinematographer who passed away this past week, unfortunately. He was responsible for all of the Middle Earth-based films, as well as many other movies involving basically cinematography that you know took place during this kind of evolving time of visual effects and whatnot. He was big with Peter Jackson and among others. But getting back to The Water Diviner, okay movie. I think Russell Crowe, I guess he shows some promise as a director, but it's an okay movie overall. It's entertaining, but kind of slight. I also saw a film at the festival called No Stranger Than Love. This featured Alison Brie in the lead role, along with Colin Hanks and God, a guy whose name I just forgot. He's on Shameless.
William H. Macy?
Not William H. Macy, the young guy.
Justin Chatwin?
Justin Chatwin. Thank you, Brad. Thank you. Yeah, William H. Macy and Alison Brie make for a romantic couple in No Stranger to the Bone.
It's kind of like Autumn in New York, except in 2015.
Exactly. No.
It's a quirky indie movie, right?
This was a quirky indie movie, yes. And it was pretty neat. It's about this, Alison Brie plays this kind of an attractive teacher who has lots of people wanting to be with her. And while she's meeting up with one of her suitors, a one-way hole just randomly appears in her floor. And, things go from there. Mm-hmm. But it was a neat film. I actually had the chance to interview the director. He seemed like a good guy. He made this movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And I hope more people get to check it out. I know it's kind of touring the festival circuit right now, but that was called No Stranger Than Love. Those are two of the features that I saw, and I have a whole list of things that I wrote up about the Newport Beach Film Festival, and I'll link into the show notes. That's out of cookies.
Tim?
All right, let's move on now. Let's get to movie trailer talk, where we talk about one of the newest trailers of the week, and when it's coming out, and what we thought of it, and what have you. And this week we have Fantastic Four, the other epic superhero team-up movie that everyone's looking forward to this summer. I'm sure all of those words are correct, and no one has any fault of anything I just said.
No, not
this
at all.
Of course, the reboot of the Fantastic Four series. This version stars Miles Teller, Kate Mara, Michael B. Jordan, and Jamie Bell as the famed Four, and they get into some trouble and get powers and stuff. Yeah. That said, Jonathan, what are your thoughts on this trailer?
I'm a little torn on this one. I really am like, it's so dark. And, like, literally, like, its color tone is so dark and, like, dirgy. But on the flip side, I really, really like Miles Teller and Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Bell, and maybe not Kate Mara, but whatever. I didn't mind Chronicle. So Josh Trank, I wouldn't mind seeing what he could do with a property like this. So after the DC Comics trailer for Batman and Superman, it was just kind of more the same on this one. So I'm not elated with the trailer, but I'm still going to hope that the pedigree of the acting will make this worth watching.
Ethan?
Yeah, the cast is about the only thing that has me interested at this point. I'm especially now more concerned after hearing the problems Fox seems to have had with Trank. And now that he's removed from Star Wars, I was much more on board after the teaser trailer than I was after the second trailer. The second trailer made it look just like any other comic book movie that's trying to be a little more serious than, Marvel's run of movies for their cinematic universe. And so I'm interested to see what they can do, but I'm not necessarily excited at this point.
Abe?
I'm pretty open to it as well. I think that there's a pretty good director at the helm. He's worked with Michael B. Jordan before, and again, Miles Teller is really coming into his own in terms of acting. Aaron and I are huge fans of Toby Kebbell, which you actually see in this trailer. And for the most part, I don't really know the source material that well. I don't know if the Fantastic Four is supposed to be quote unquote dark and gritty. I'm not a huge fan of that.
it's more one of the lighter comic books, I would say.
I'm not a huge fan of movies trying to go that route just to create more serious tones, and I'll see it.
Yeah, I agree with Ethan, where just the second trailer makes it, like, the teaser was like, all right, now we have a look of what's going on, but this one just makes it look like everything. Like, I've seen this movie. It makes it look like the first Amazing Spider-Man, which is, like, the untold story that was actually told already, except, now with darker hues and more grays, and it's Fantastic Four, which, much like my gripes with Man of Steel, it's like, this seems like it should be a little more upbeat. I don't know. And hearing the news this week, that's part of why I want to talk about the Fantastic Four trailer. Josh Trank was lined up to direct one of the spinoffs, right, Ethan?
Yeah, the second.
Right.
Yeah, one of the spinoffs of the second, like, standalone Star Wars film, and he was taken off said project. So it makes me wonder why. and if it comes from what they've seen of this movie, I don't know how much confidence I have in it. Regardless, there's certainly a cast here that I enjoy for the most part, and I want to see them all together doing fantastic things as a foursome, but I don't know if I'm going to get that. So I'm very skeptical, I guess. And, you know, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yep.
I do like that Kevin Spacey's barbecue guy, Freddy, he's certainly upped himself from House of Cards to Fantastic Four now. Like, that's good for him, I think.
I didn't even think about that.
And K. Mara's along for the ride, too. So I mean,
I know.
They've jumped
House of Cards reunion.
There you go.
Or is it House of Cards Purgatory?
One of those. Regardless, Fantastic Four hits theaters August 7th. So, yeah, we'll see. And that's Trailer Talk. So now let's move on. Let's get to the main event. Let's get to our film review for Avengers, Age of Ultron.
I was designed to save the world. People who look to the sky and see hope. I'll take that from them first. There's only one path to peace. Their extinction.
Okay, that should have been some of the trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron. This is the follow-up to the massively successful Avengers, let alone all Marvel films that have come since, in this season finale of Phase 2 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which finds the gang back together for another adventure. This time it involves stopping Ultron, voiced by James Spader, a piece of AI gone bad despite Tony Stark's efforts to create something that could help the world. The group must now fight against Ultron and his army of robots in an effort to save the world. Lots of witty banter and action ensues, courtesy of a script and direction by Joss Whedon. Ethan Anderson, what have you been in your thoughts on, I guess, Phase 2 of the MCU, unintentional rhyme, and what did you think of this film?
For the most part, I think the movies in Phase 2 have been better than the Phase 1 predecessors. The one exception, I think, would be I don't think Iron Man 3 is better than the first Iron Man. But Winter Soldier is fantastic and better than the first Avenger. And I happen to love the first Avenger.
Abe and I do, too.
Thor: The Dark World was definitely a vast improvement over the first Thor. Obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy is fantastic. It's my favorite of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And as for Avengers Age of Ultron, there are things about it that I think are better than the original Avengers. However, as a whole movie, I don't think it works quite as well. Mostly because of just how much is going on and how much setup there is for the next round of movies and how much reference there is to what happened previously. It's hard for it to stand on its own. And while I understand that the Marvel Cinematic Universe has become something akin to a big budget TV series now, I think it would be much smarter of Marvel and much better for filmmaking, you know, within the Marvel Universe if somebody could watch only the Avengers movies and still enjoy them without having seen the standalone movies. It obviously would be a big challenge, but I think Marvel is starting to rely too much on the fact that they know everybody has seen the movies previously. And while it's fun and cool to see all the characters popping up, even if it's just for a couple minutes, some of it just seems a little like too much fan service since Marvel now knows the massive audience that they have.
John?
I would say I really enjoyed it. I would say when it comes to Marvel, I would Guardians, Avengers 1, and Iron Man 1 are the three I would point to as being like good movies. I think for me, the script of this one really plays out well. I just think Joss Whedon does a way better job than anybody else, maybe other than Iron Man 1, as far as just like keeping a good balance of like fun comedic elements and drama. And especially the comedy aspects of Avengers, I think, are always much stronger than the other movies. Yeah, like better throwaway lines and just kind of it's goofy, but it's not like the Thor movies where it's campy and terrible. And so I enjoyed, yeah, I thought it was really, really good. James Spader, I think, crackles as Ultron. I mean, probably not surprising if you know Spader, but it's kind of fun to see them do perfect casting like that, where he works really well as a villain here. And I think the cast overall is up to the task, and they do a good job of kind of highlighting maybe cast members who didn't get quite as much shine in the first Avengers. So
there's a big arrow that points to who that might be.
Maybe I'll let you take it from there.
I'll let Abe go first. Abe, what do you think?
In terms of Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 2, I think that they've done a pretty good job with a lot of the films. One of the things I would disagree with Ethan on is just the Thor 2. I felt as though I did on that panel during the review, felt as though that one was basically a huge stepping stone movie. There was really nothing that you really learned from that one other than to say that Thor is now, he had to fight some villain that you don't really know of, who can time travel through portals, and Loki got free. In terms of this movie, it's very good, and I am not going to say that everyone who didn't like it is wrong. It's just more of, I have problems with it too, but people are going to go see this movie. I think that it's going to score high with the audiences. Joss Whedon has a really good job of the script in terms of his jokes with all the characters. One of the things I didn't like so much is, we kind of touched upon it earlier, is the character development for some of the villains, and Ultron is an amazing character. I don't have any previous knowledge of him, but in this movie I wanted to learn so much more about him. You do see things about what he's thinking and how he goes about doing his stuff, but it would have been interesting just to I don't know, be in his mind a little bit more so that you could, I don't know, listen to James Spader, who is doing a very good job of playing his old self in almost any role, as Ultron. But again,
he's a
action,
dick. He plays a dick. Basically, James Spader.
Ultron is incredibly sarcastic. Ultron is incredibly sarcastic. And if you've seen any movie with James Spader in it, including all the ones back in the 80s,
like Less Than Zero, starring Robert Downey Jr.
Yes, I mean, he's basically it's nailed on the head. But in terms of this one, I personally felt that this one was a little bit more of a stepping stone too, especially toward the last 30 or 45 minutes of the movie. I liked what they were doing one-on-one with the characters in between battle scenes, with example like Black Widow and Hulk, or Bruce Banner, I should say, and even with Hawkeye and the safe house, right? On the whole, in terms of a standalone, and if you watch this after watching Avengers 2, yes, you'd miss out on some minor jokes in there, but I felt as though it kind of just went into, we're shifting into what's going to happen in the future. Even though this is pretty good, I felt as though they kind of had to do that with this movie, and one of the things I didn't like so much about it.
I enjoyed this movie immensely, to the point where I get confused as to what's not to enjoy about it, and that's a question I want to present now, because I can understand. It's not like I think it's perfect. I certainly see like where some flaws are, but I see flaws in every single one of these Marvel movies, so it's not really much of a change here. I mean, no, a movie like this can't be perfect because there's just too much to happen. If anything, I feel like there should be more credit given to the fact that Joss Whedon somehow takes characters that all ended one movie, so you have like four movies right there, and then you have this movie, which has to be its own thing, as well as be a way to set up more things later on, and yet it's still this kind of cohesive viewing experience that has all these characters that I feel are mostly well balanced, with the exception of maybe one or two people, which also happened to add like nine more characters that we didn't know before this movie, and yet I still walk away thinking there's a really solid script here that gets in some comedy, gets in some drama, develops some of these characters more, it gives a chance for others to be fleshed out. It manages to let me see some in a movie like this, some nuanced acting, I'd say more so than the first one, and just really cool action. I mean, there's a lot of action for sure, but I wouldn't necessarily say it overwhelms the film, because I do think there's still a lot of good humor in said script that kind of keeps it keeps you involved with what's going on beyond just seeing like cool stuff happen. I think the banter and the one-liners is the kind of thing Joss Whedon's very good at for a movie like this.
Right.
Additionally, I feel like this is a movie where the stakes felt higher. Like, I feel like watching the first movie again, which I did right before I saw this one, it feels like, all right, they're kind of going around, and then eventually they fight on, like, one block in New York. And then this one, it feels like something's actually going to happen if they don't do something. Obviously, it's an Avengers movie. The world's not about to end. But at the same time, I felt like there was some real drama in the way things were being set up by Ultron. Like, for a film like this where you have all these superpowered people, it feels right to actually give them something that they need to all team up to fight against, and I felt like this movie supplied that for me.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoyed this movie a lot, too. And I did feel as though there were those character moments where it's like that one Simpsons episode where McBain and his partner are having lunch and the partner's like, today's my last day on the force. I just got a boat. There's a lot of that going on.
But it's hand-
it's yeah, but it's handled well in this one. And I think that that's something that you don't roll your eyes at, right? Because that's kind of Joss Whedon saying, I know what I'm doing because I have a handle on the script. I do agree with you that there's, you know, action sequences are fine. But one of the things I was kind of referring to earlier is just I didn't really get a sense of, I don't know, Ultron being incredibly big and bad and why he did it. And I feel as though his character is kind of done pretty early. And done meaning you get a sense of who he is and then the climactic sequences at the end of the movie, and that's essentially it, even though there's a lot of hype around it. And
well, what's even Loki's plan? He just wants what? Like, what is he?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm
intrigued more about Loki's plan because he's still around, right?
That's after the fact. What about that?
Well, I just thought you were going into maybe the fact that, like, I think this movie does a good job of, like, the little moments. I thought the action directing, at least on the front end battles, was unique and kind of different for the series a little bit. And so, like, it's kind of interesting that, like, it almost seems like Joss kind of sacrificed the plot. Like, the plot is the quickest, fastest way through. And so, I don't know, for people who don't have the background in the comics, I wondered if they would get and it doesn't matter for a movie like this, but it does seem, I would say maybe the plot, and therefore, like Abe's talking about, maybe like Ultron's part, because he's more plot-driving than other characters, gets rushed a little bit. But I'm also grateful it's only, you know, 2 hours and 20 minutes or whatever.
Sure, yeah. And just to tack onto that, this goes to Aaron's point, and it's a positive point. It's just Joss Whedon does do a very good job of juggling all these characters because there's good dialogue in here about Tony Stark and what he is and who he is and how he acts and all these great valid points that I hadn't thought of before. And why is he or why is Ultron in the spirit of Tony Stark and things of that nature? It's like, oh, this is really good character questioning. In the script, and I found that stuff really, really enjoyable.
And that's, I guess, where I'm siding with the movie more in terms of, like, wanting to represent it positively, because I think there's a lot of interesting ideas for a number of these characters here, and ones that could easily make an entire film of its own. I feel like there's a lot of complexity even in just, like, the Black Widow Hulk romance that's going on in this movie, which is not something that comes out of nowhere. I mean, it's set up to a degree in the first film, and then this film kind of follows through on it more. And again, it's not like it's, you know, all of that, so there's not all that time. But it's just one of the many things, I think, in the movie like this, where you have a lot of characters that you, yes, already know, and you're already ideally supposed to be familiar with. But it's hard to fault Marvel with. I mean, I understand, like, Ethan, you were mentioning, like, you feel like, I guess, the movie could do with standing alone more, correct? Is that fair?
Yeah.
And I guess... yes, there's a set. I mean, personally, I feel like it does. I think you can walk into this movie and get what you want to get out of it. Maybe you'd, I mean, obviously you'd get more if you saw every other movie preceding it, but I do feel like it does a good enough job to just be a movie. Like, I mean, just look at how it starts. Like, it doesn't start with let's getting everyone back together. It just starts with all the movie together already, which I really prefer. I'd rather see that movie.
And I think that also shows in the action sequences, too. Whenever they're fighting, everyone knows everybody's. Like, when Captain America and Thor have this part where they're just talking about how this army is walking down a single path, like, dude, I got it. You know, let's just do this. Because they're together, right? I agree with you that they don't have to go through the backstory of who these people are, why they have to be together, and whatever else. It's just, they've been together, you've seen Avengers 1, they're moving into the next part of things. But, again, the whole entire movie is fine, just the last 30, 45 minutes is when I felt as though they were trying to make it the springboard. And yes and no, I understand that aspect too, but I agree with Ethan in terms of it doesn't really feel like it's its own standalone movie.
Its own standalone movie. I'm just saying it could serve as one if you were to just watch this movie. I'm not saying it's perfect as a standalone movie, but at the same time, watching a movie like this that we all know exists in a universe where there are more movies, it's hard for me. I can understand where the logic would be to fault a movie for not being as standalone as it could, but at the same time, that's just where we are right now, guys. Like, it's hard. Like, I can't. Like,
oh no,
that,
I think
that's what
I
these movies are.
It's
like
with Aaron, more with Aaron on this one, where I think, yeah, I think this one stands alone very well, and actually the ending really stands alone because it's kind of the two new characters, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch. Like, a lot of this movie is actually kind of a standalone movie for them and kind of their arc. And so I thought it did a good job of kind of, if you look at it through that perspective, especially of just the three new characters of those two and Ultron, it's a pretty complete story in that respect for kind of the stakes that they bring as a whole. Now, I mean, I enjoyed it a lot, and I think what we run into with this is there's so many of these now. I mean, there's even an Avengers prior to this, and the first Avengers was, you know, amazing because we'd never seen something on that level, and its rewatchability is actually kind of crazy. Like, it's always entertaining when it's on TV or something. I always stop on it for a little bit because I think, and I credit Joss a lot with that, with just having fun dialogue to kind of be repetitious or repeating and still being fun.
Whatever, man, it's a trick.
Well, please be my guest.
Come on.
Really?
Yeah.
Clint, you've had a tough week. We won't hold it against you if you can't get it up.
You know I've seen this before, right? Yeah. And I still don't know how you do it.
Smell the silent judgment.
Please. Stark, by all means.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm.
Never one to shrink from an honest challenge.
Get after it.
Here we go. It's physics.
Physics.
Right, so if I lift it, I then rule Asgard?
Yes, of course.
I will be reinstituting Prima Nocta. Be right back.
Are you even pulling?
Are you on my team?
Just represent, pull.
All right, let's go.
Yeah! I would say, no, I really, really like this movie. I think it's a more, I don't know, Avengers 1 is cool because I like the intergalactic villains and stuff. I thought there's a lot of imagination there. It's the first time you see it, so I would probably give it the nod. But, like, objectively, this one, I think, is more interesting emotionally. I mean, Loki's just probably one of the unsung underdog, like, characters of this whole franchise, which I don't know if they would have ever expected Loki to be so cool.
I don't think he's unsung. He's become, like, a sex icon.
What?
I don't think he's unsung at all.
Like, people love Loki. There's.
I know, or I guess, but, yeah, but if you were, like, making these movies, wouldn't you have been like, Loki, whatever. I mean, like, you wouldn't have expected him to become kind of the phenomenon he did?
You might not have expected it, but at the same time, he's been in more of these movies than a good portion of the people in Avengers and Marvel.
Right.
He's at this point, he's been in three.
More than Stellan Skarsgård.
Right. He and Stellan are tied, I believe, actually.
So I guess I say this with, like, saying that, like, this movie's probably, like, a 9 out of 10 or an 8.5 out of 10. So when I look at these movies, I'm trying now to figure out, you know, we're working within margins of getting it from a 9 to a 10 or something like that. But the one thing I'm starting to see more and more is it is hard to ignore, like, the strings of Marvel. Like,
right.
There's a formula here that's almost becoming comically the same, especially when it comes to ending action sequences in these movies.
You mean being giant overlong set pieces?
Well, I don't know if I didn't want to know how much we want to get into spoilers.
I'm not even spoiling anything. I just mean in terms of just basically what it is. It's like, all this stuff leads to this breaking point, and here's 40 minutes of action, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it's like, there's a lot of this.
Right, and there's maybe floating things always involved every single time, and like a million henchmen robots every single time, and it's just like, I'm hoping that at some point, and maybe even we'll see this with the genre, you know, the genreization, which I'm got so much hope for Doctor Strange and some other stuff, I'm waiting for them to, like, figure out a new way to end these movies, at least action-wise a little bit. And that was, I would say, if I was going to complain about anything on this movie, I was just like, really, again, when it came to, like, the final action sequences.
I wanna,
there's microcosms in those that are original are good, but the overarching, what the final battle is pretty much exactly the same in this movie as it was in Captain America, as it was in the first Avengers, as it was in Iron Man 3.
I want to get back to that, but let me bring Ethan into this conversation more. He seems like he's just sitting patiently.
To that last point, I feel like that's something that's always going to be something in the Avengers, only because you have so many characters that you have to give them all something to do and something to fight against, and so because they can't all fight the main villain at the same time. Maybe that'll change when Thanos comes into play in Infinity War, because he's such a formidable villain. But you have to give everyone something to do, you know, while one or two other people are fighting the main villain. As far as Ultron is concerned as a villain, he's definitely the second best villain the Marvel Universe has seen besides Loki. However, where Loki succeeds is you kind of get more of a vibe of him being menacing and villainous. Like, we get that Ultron's what his plot is. You know, the cure for humanity is their extinction, because they're not evolving. But you don't ever really see him menacing humanity. Like, you know that he's executing some kind of plan to basically just destroy the planet. But Loki, you get a sense of his menacing and his villainy with that scene after he over in Europe, and he forces these people outside to kneel to him. He wants to rule them, and so you get the sense of who he is as a character. And you guys talked about earlier that we don't really get much of Ultron besides his plan. While you get some personality because of him being created by Stark, and he has some of his sarcasm and some of his sayings here and there and that kind of thing. And so he's a good villain, but he's just not quite as good as Loki. But I did enjoy his banter with the heroes and that kind of thing. I was not expecting him to be that funny or that engaging. Spader definitely helped push that too, because his voice is just perfect for that kind of humor taunting.
I admired that about Ultron it's a robot. Like, I don't know what I was going to expect from a robot besides being a robot. So I was happy. I should have realized that having James Spader means you get James Spader in a movie. But at the same time, like, I get, obviously there's differences between Loki and Ultron, because one's Loki and one's Ultron. But at the same time, Loki, that's a villain that requires the kind of, like, menacing, what have you. Ultron's not out to, like, rule anything. He's just out to destroy everything. And I mean, I would probably say Loki's a better villain just because it's human. Like, it just makes it inherently a better villain because of the kind of the Shakespearean drama that Abe and I have acknowledged and going on between Odin, Thor, and Loki that makes it more, for that world, it makes it intriguing to watch.
Right.
Regardless of how much John might disagree, since he hates Thor. But the version of this Ultron that I'm seeing, like, not that I agree with his plan or anything, but I like the way he was going about things. I liked how he not only, like, had this plan, but he had a personality to go with it. And while it doesn't lead to necessarily the most complex of characters, I do think there's enough there, especially after watching, like, Ex Machina, you know, where we get a full-blown AI plotline. Now we have this, you know, right, hyper-real blockbuster version of that plotline just blown out to much wider proportions. Yes, there could, like, in a, you know, in the three-hour cut of this movie, there's probably more Ultron that really fleshes out more of what's going on in his robot noggin. But in the moments we get with, like I could have watched a whole scene of Vision and Ultron talking together all day, because I feel like Joss Whedon probably had a lot of great dialogue for that but had to cut it down. But there's stuff there that I really just admire. And for a movie like this, which has, you know, another Marvel villain that's bent on whatever for the sake of heroes need to stop him in time, at least I felt like there's a lot. Yes, I mean, obviously, basically, I'm just agreeing with you. just wanted to represent Ultron more, I guess, but I really liked what he was doing.
I think it says a strength of this movie how much character work we get for how little time they actually get. It's kind of like you just said, I think Ultron probably did get the most cuts, probably, of like all the footage they shot. And so it's kind of pretty good. They used some kind of cool devices to speed up and say quickly kind of what he was about. And I just think it's kind of amazing. The casting they did for a lot of these superheroes, etc., means that we really get to know a lot of these characters from kind of very small, select looks in at them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a pretty good accomplishment of the movie, and kind of one of the strengths of the franchise is how well it clicks along, considering how much screen time needs to be shared.
Well, that's where I'm at with these with Avengers movies in particular. I mean, you get like, I mean, obviously Jeremy Renner, he gets a lot more to do this time around. We all know that. And it's nice. Like, it's great to see. And in a movie like this that has, you know, giant action set pieces, I really enjoy all the stuff that happens at the barn, at his house, and this kind of secret getaway for the Avengers for the middle of the movie. You get to see all these guys act. You get to see all these people talk and hang out and not be... I mean, it's fun seeing them at the party early on when they're all just quipping away, but I enjoyed seeing them, you know, calm down and discuss the drama of the situation. Have surprise guest Linda Cardellini come in to talk to
Scooby-Doo's own Linda Cardellini.
Freaks and Geeks Linda Cardellini talk about his avenging and how she supports it and everything. And it's like, it's a lot of just good, warm conversation that I enjoyed.
And it's not only warm conversation, but again, I think that Ultron is essentially just, he's the catalyst to having greater conversations about, you know, things that Captain America fears, things that Tony Stark really finds intriguing, things that Bruce Banner is kind of ambivalent toward, and even things that Hawkeye may or may not like about his job, right?
This could have been avoided if you hadn't played with something you don't understand.
I'm sorry. It is funny. It's a hoot that you don't get why we need
this. Tony, maybe this might not be the time.
Really? That's it. You just roll over, show your belly every time somebody snarls.
Only when I've created a murder bot.
We didn't. We weren't even close. Were we close to an interface?
Well, you did something right. And you did it right here. The Avengers were supposed to be different than S.H.I.E.L.D.
Anybody remember when I carried a nuke through a wormhole?
No, it's never come up.
Save New York?
Never heard that.
Recall that? A hostile alien army came charging through a hole in space. We're standing 300 feet below it.
We're the Avengers. We can bust arms dealers all the live long day, but that up there, that's the end game. How are you guys planning on beating that? Together.
But you're right, Aaron, that there's good conversation from all these characters. And one of the lines that I'd point to, or one of the dialogue scenes that I'd point to, is when Hawkeye shows up in a house and he's talking to Scarlet Witch and he's like, you know what, this is what I do. And if you don't want to do it, fine, no hard feelings, but I got to go out there and do some stuff here. And in any other movie, that's just, you might think that that's too much for a side character to say. But in the Avengers, it's not. It's like the perfect amount, if not, you know, you start rooting for more Hawkeye lines or things of that nature, you know? So, again, kudos to Joss Whedon for the script writing.
This brings me back to, like, the main question I have. And this, I'm going to go to Ethan first on it. So you would say that the first film is better than this one. Is that...
As far as the filmmaking and storytelling is concerned, yes. However, I think the action and the pacing is better in the second movie.
All right. I'm curious. Like, I understand. I mean, not everyone's going to agree on the same thing. I just look at Ultra and I feel like it just does so much of what the first one did better. That's what I think of it.
Yeah, I can't tell if I would be. I don't know.
It
felt fresher, but this one probably feels like it does one better. But I
get the freshness aspect just because it's the first time we've seen it, you know, happen.
Yeah.
But I feel like, I don't know how to, like, quantifiably take that away and turn it into something else, but I think I liked
the overall villains and stuff better in the first one because I like Loki's henchmen better. It provided for kind of more variety in that way too, a little bit.
I just feel like, I guess for me, I feel like Whedon's direction's just more, it's more assured. I feel like,
definitely.
I mean, for having, you know, he's going to more places, the dynamics from a visual sense, it looks like it's more mapped out, whereas the first one, every time I watch it, I feel like I see the seams a bit more, where this one, and I've seen it twice, like, I don't feel like I'm just, like, Marvel fanboying all over this movie. I feel like I'm trying to give it a legit shake. It's just I was massively entertained by this movie. It's hard to, like...
That's because it's massively entertaining.
It is.
Yeah, I mean...
I don't think anybody here is saying that this isn't a bad... I mean, that's the thing, is it's, like, to even go in on a movie like this, I mean, I think everybody's acknowledging that it's one of the best blockbusters of the year. It's a hugely entertaining movie, so then we're kind of just left with, how do we want to pick at it?
Right. I totally agree that it's absolutely entertaining, but I also think that it lacks a certain amount of substance. Like, you guys talked about the character work and that kind of thing, and I agree to a certain extent that I like the bits and pieces of, like, you get little stuff here and there for the characters for how much screen time they get, but when you really start examining it, the only characters who really get a significant arc and actually develop as characters are Banner and Black Widow and Scarlet Witch. Tony Stark doesn't change whatsoever. Captain America doesn't change whatsoever. Thor doesn't change at all.
Thor's the one that gets the shortest shrift, really. He just disappears.
Yeah, and that's why I go back to, like, I don't think that this is a good standalone movie at all, because almost all of the characters, like, you get bits and pieces here, but it's all set up for future stuff. And so it's all build up to something coming later, which is fine because it's Marvel, but at the same time, it doesn't make it a good standalone movie, and it makes for an incomplete story. So massively entertaining, sure, absolutely, but it definitely has some shortcomings because of the kind of movie it is and because of the kind of world that Marvel has made for these movies to exist. So does it work? Yes, but it's not a good standalone movie.
And by
I echo Ethan's point.
The counter I have to that, though, is, like, what does the first movie do differently? Because what are the arcs in the first movie for any of these people besides they meet each other and get along eventually?
Well, that is the big arc. That's all of their arcs. But like, Tony has to learn to deal with Captain America, you know, being the leader and being someone that he has to listen to. Captain America has to come to terms with the fact that, you know, Tony also offers, you know, opposition, but it is valuable.
Does he really, though? I mean, it just, like, they eventually work together. That's all I see when I watch that movie. I don't see him really, like, changing.
That's what's great about it, though, is it's so simple. And this one sometimes seems overly complex.
Okay, and that's fair. I just look. So
I don't know. That's why I kind of like this one more, though. There was so much, like, it was kind of like a graduate class on the first one where, like you said, when you talk about character development, like, the Iron Man and Captain America character arcs in this movie were, like, actually, like, kind of, like, I don't know, like, more novelization level, I don't know, Mad Men level, like,
what,
you know, they were working on, their characters were working on kind of a higher level as far as if you wanted to get where they were going. Like, it's easier to follow, like, a Hawkeye or Black Widow in this one, but I kind of like the underneath it all work they were doing to kind of further the rift between Captain America and Iron Man and kind of some of that stuff.
I don't think Captain America and Tony Stark have a character arc in this movie. I think it's all set up for them coming to blows in Civil War. If you can tell me where Captain America and Tony Stark start at the beginning of this movie and where they end and how it's different, I would love to understand that. Because I don't see any difference whatsoever. I don't think Tony or Captain America learn anything.
Well, I mean,
it'll lead us down another alley, and honestly, we just need to keep going on. if we want to really, like, go into every single detail to see which one emerges more successful in this conversation. But I get where you're coming from, Ethan. I get where John's trying to come from here, and what he's saying. And I mean, what it comes down to is there's an appreciation that some of us have a little bit more than others, but we all find it immensely entertaining. Is that fair?
Oh, absolutely. It's a fun movie. Also, I think the Russo brothers are a better director than Joss Whedon. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, I'm excited for the next phase with the Russo brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but are they going to write? Who's going to write it?
They can still have punch-up scripts with Louis C.K. in it. I've seen that episode.
There you go. Because I don't know. Captain America, blah. Meh. Meh.
What?
I know.
Winter Soldier is phenomenal. Winter Soldier is much better directed than either of the two movies that Whedon has directed.
Right, I guess I know, and that's where I guess the writer in me cares much more about the writing.
We're running into
and Winter Soldier's. I mean, Winter Soldier's fine, but it's just there's just things crackle so much more in the two Avengers movies as far as, like, characters and, like, dialogue. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not saying, I mean, there's no way it's not going to be an entertaining movie. I mean, Captain America's final action sequence is, like, the most lame of all of them other than Iron Man 3, so. So we'll see. I'm not discounting it. I'm just saying that I'm not trying to be such a Joss Whedon fanboy, but I just think what he brings to the table makes these type of movies way better than what they could be.
All right. I feel like the rating seems inconsequential because anyone listening to this probably saw it already, and I think we'd all agree that you should probably see it in theaters. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
Ethan, you there?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No problem. Okay. But let's move on then. Let's get to our sponsor for this week, which is, of course, Audible.com. go to audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast to download a free audiobook. There are a whole bunch of different audiobooks you can download for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 device, or anything of that nature. For the listeners of Out Now, Theron and Abe, you can get a free audiobook if you go to audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast, and you get to try out their service. If you like that service, you can keep it. If you don't, you can get rid of it, but you get to keep the book that you downloaded for free. So yeah, audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Be a winner. Read. Or listen. There you go. All right. Now, let's move into Out Now Feedback.
Feedback.
This is, of course, where we go into the various questions and answers that we received on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast. where we asked the listeners a number of questions that they answered, and they also asked us questions that we'll be answering now on this podcast. John and Ethan, feel free to jump in when you want to. But here we go. Here's the first one. What more mundane activity would you like to see the Avengers accomplish? George wrote, teaching their parents to program a DVR. Jason has, I would love to see them make a baseball field. All right. David adds, it would be funny to see them on some downtime arguing over what to watch on TV. I can also already hear the audience laughs with Widow complaining about sharing a bathroom with a Norse god and a Hulk. Pretty good.
Pretty mundane. Anything from you guys, Brett, Ethan, or John?
I'd like to see them go fishing out in the country.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Out on the boat, out on the little boat, somehow.
On a little pontoon.
Yeah. Just waiting for a bite.
Next question we asked everybody is, what Avenger combos do you want to see more of, either in fighting or verbally sparring? David writes, Vision and Wanda falling in love, the Wasp, Black Knight, Wonder Man, and Tigra. Mike writes, I wish I was more of Loki, but I usually root for the bad guys. Philip writes, Hawkeye and anyone. I hope there's more Jeremy Renner in the films. And finally, Manish writes, Thor and Black Widow. Have they ever spoken to one another? Good question.
Have they?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'd have to go rewatch some stuff.
Thor? Black Widow? Have they spoken to each other?
I guess he's usually in Asgard when she's around the team. I don't know.
I can't remember her ever talking to him.
Yeah, I can't remember any specific exchange that they've had.
They both had hair tips.
If you watch the SNL, they had a good exchange.
That's true. Yeah. All right, now we get to our questions here. George asks, what social media do you think each Avenger is addicted to?
Have to think that Tony Stark is addicted to Twitter.
Yeah, Stark's a Twitter guy.
Yeah.
Cap's on,
MySpace.
He's on Match.com.
He's on MySpace.
He's looking for love, that Cap.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Banner's
a huge Tumblr guy, I can tell.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Thor is like figuring out Facebook.
Yeah, he's got Kat Dennings to help him out, right? And she mentions Facebook to him.
Hawkeye's got family and kids, and he's a super secret.
Well, he's a
guy.
Spy.
He
yeah.
Do anything.
He and Black Widow are not on.
Yeah, they're staying away from it completely.
Right.
Who are we missing? Who else is?
Nick Fury is on Instagram because
Yeah, Nick Fury is an Instagrammer.
He's got a great photographer's eye.
Yeah. All right, nailed it.
Next question from Jason is, would you like to see Daredevil in a Marvel Studio film, and would you like to see Kingpin in a Spider-Man film?
No to the first one, yes to the second one.
And that's your answer, Jason.
Would I like to see Daredevil in a Marvel Studio? Ethan, would you like to see Daredevil in a Marvel Studio film? If there's rumors of him, being in, Infinity War with everybody? Like, Abe and I are in Infinity War. We're all in it.
Yeah.
Would you like to see Daredevil in Infinity War?
I don't think that I would like to see him as Daredevil in Infinity War. I wouldn't mind him popping up as Matt Murdock.
Oh, like saying, it's like, hey, if you guys need representation, I'll be down here.
Yes.
Then he walks away with his
just cane. Find me in Hell's Kitchen. Yeah.
If you guys find yourself in any intergalactic snafus, here's my card. I know intergalactic law.
It seems like the tone of Daredevil, the amount of violence in that show would be like, I don't know if we're doing this right in Marvel films. Or it'd be like one of them would have to be copping out, I'd imagine, in order to make one work in some way.
Well, I can't talk. I guess it seems like with the characters we're introducing and with the characters we know are going to have standalones, that we're trying to bring in more elements on the good guys' side that kind of match up with these intergalactic people eventually.
At the same time, would we like to see Kingpin in a Spider-Man movie? I mean, sure, if they want to make that happen. Only if it's Vincent D'Onofrio doing his most intense Looking for Women voice, because I really enjoy Kingpin Looking for Love in the Daredevil series. All right, next question. Rob asks, I'm finishing up Jurassic Park today in class, and I haven't seen The Lost World, Jurassic Park since I was a little kid. Since I want to revisit JP2 soon, I was wondering, what are your thoughts on the Spielberg Jurassic Park movies, and if you're looking forward to Jurassic World at all? I'll go first, I guess. Jurassic Park is wonderful. I love watching it. Not my favorite Spielberg movie, but certainly one that I really enjoy. The Lost World, Jurassic Park is, I think, maybe the top three worst of Spielberg's films. Jurassic Park 3, which is Joe Johnston directed, you know, Captain America, the first Avenger. I enjoy that movie just because it gets to the point, doesn't really try to do much more than be a straight-up action movie. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to Jurassic World.
To tack on to that, I enjoy Jurassic Park immensely. I think it was, it's still, if it's on TV, I'm going to sit down and watch it. Soundtrack is playing, I'm going to sit down and listen to the soundtrack because it's fantastic in all regards. As far as Jurassic World, I'm excited. I think we've talked about it. If people who are listening know our top 10 for the summer, they know where we've placed Jurassic World, so there's that.
John?
I mean, Jurassic Park's one of my favorite movies, I think, ever, blockbuster-wise. I think I used to before I don't know if I just became more populist or if blockbusters got better again, but I used to kind of lament about the fact that, you know, blockbusters, that like Jurassic Park is like one of the last blockbusters that could also be like kind of almost a prestige film or like kind of a thinker, if you will. Just kind of, they didn't make them like that anymore for a while. But now I think kind of blockbusters are better again. I mean, Lost World's got more Jeff Goldblum, so I don't know. In my head, I felt like it was good, but it probably wasn't. Jurassic Park 3 was a complete shrug and... this new one looks like it's going to be a train wreck and really, really bad, but I'll probably watch it, I guess. I'm not really looking forward to this new one. I don't see how it will add to anything or could be good on its own.
Well, the park's actually open now, so we get to see what that's like.
There you go. I mean, Bryce Dallas
nothing can go wrong. I mean, I've only watched the first 30 seconds of every trailer, so everything seems like it's going right. So I don't know where things are going to go from there. But
I'm looking forward to the buddy cop Chris Pratt and one Velociraptor, doing dino justice.
Pratt and Bitey at it again. Ethan, thoughts on Jurassic Park series?
Yeah, Jurassic Park is absolutely one of my favorite adventure movies of all time. The Lost World, I think, gets a bad rap when really it's only the third act of the movie that blows really hard. I think everything that happens on Isla Sorna is fantastic, but once they take the T-Rex to San Diego or San Francisco, wherever it is, it's just a train wreck.
Do you remember how proud they were about doing that, too? Spielberg's like, I just couldn't wait!
it's so weird. It gets so silly. Jurassic Park 3 is just I get so mad at that movie if I catch any part of it. As one of the stupidest moments I've ever seen in a movie, because they have that like model of the Velociraptor's vocal cords, and when they're surrounded by raptors and like Grant's sidekick or whatever tells him to call for help. And it's like, how the fuck do you even know make the sound to call for help? Like, there's no way you could do that. I hate it so much.
Well, this podcast just began for mature audiences only.
Sorry, you can bleep that if you have to. That's how mad I get.
The only thing I want to bleep is an entire plot about a girl doing gymnastics in The Lost World to fight off raptors. But that's me.
But it's Jurassic World, I'm looking forward to it to some extent, but I'm on the fence because it seems like they took Jurassic Park and turned it into the merchandising gimmick that the real theme, like the theme park Jurassic Park could have become if it became a reality. Like when you see all the merchandise and stuff that is inside the visitor center, that's what I feel like Jurassic World is. It's like it's the merchandising and bastardization of Jurassic Park. And so I hope it's more than just dinosaur action and that kind of thing, but it seems like it's going to be missing the substance and all the good provoking stuff that Jurassic Park originally had.
Well, if there's one thing we know, it's that they spared no expense.
It's true.
They did not, yeah. Last question we have from Taryn is, do you think the 2019 Green Lantern movie would be better without Ryan Reynolds? And if so, who would you replace him with?
That's four years away.
Yeah, that's a long way to go. If it's Jon Stewart, good. Do that, James Green Lantern. I don't need
Not comedian John Stewart.
No, yeah, comedian John Stewart.
No, I want comedian John Stewart too.
Yeah, we don't. I don't need another Hal. We had that. They tried that, and so whatever. So move on.
There you go.
That's all I got.
Michael B. Jordan.
Put him in everything.
But, I mean, Chris Evans was both, right? So he's all over the place. He can do anything. So.
Ben Affleck, just make him do it.
Just in the same universe. He's Batman and Green Lantern. What would Twitter be like that day if that was announced? Ben Affleck also to star as Green Lantern.
The Twitter sphere would blow up.
That'd be like if Zack Snyder tweeted out on April Fool's Day that Ben Affleck was going to be Green Lantern.
And he's also going to be Superman because the other dude dropped out.
It'd just be amazing.
Ben Affleck already played Superman.
The internet. Yeah, exactly. There you go. Hollywood land. The internet would break that day. It'd just break in half.
Yeah.
You know what? I was thinking about this the other day too, with in regards to Ben Affleck and the kind of reaction that initially got. I guarantee you, anyone that's like complaining intensely about Ben Affleck would also go out of their way if Ben Affleck was standing right next to him to get a selfie and post on Instagram right away. But that's just the thought I was having. All right. That was enough feedback.
Feedback.
Let's move on now. What time is it, Abe?
Oh, Aaron, I think it might be time for some games. That was Age of Ultron-y.
That was something. That's what
that was.
Pretty
good.
Yeah.
In the flesh.
In the flesh, exactly. Abe, do you have a game for us?
I do have a game for you guys. It's called Before They Were Avengers. I've got 10 questions here, and they all evolve around one of the characters in the Avengers. However, I'm going to be asking you a question about one of the actors' or actresses' previous films that they're in, and I'd like you to name the movie that I'm referring to.
One of the actors' or actresses'?
Yes.
Okay.
Actors is the new word. It's
so fine. So. Read the dictionary. So this is going to be a question regarding the past of the actors involved in the Avengers.
That's correct.
And we have to guess what movie you're referring to?
Yes, the movie.
And we have to buzz in with our name.
That's correct.
So I'll say Aaron and then an answer.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
First question. Before he was Dr. Bruce Banner, Mark Ruffalo was an undercover LAPD detective trying to help a cab driver escape a hitman in this movie.
Aaron. Collateral.
That is correct.
Nailed it.
Next one. Okay. Before she played Black Widow, she was the love interest to Hugh Jackman in this Christopher Nolan movie.
Jonathan. Wait, Christopher Nolan movie?
Aaron. The Prestige.
That is correct. Thank you.
Wait, what was the answer?
The Prestige.
Oh my god.
I was holding back because I thought you guys would jump on.
Yeah, I was like, Jonathan really jumped in early there.
I don't remember.
Alright. That was like two huge clues. Hugh Jackman, Christopher Nolan. Alright, here we go.
I forgot he made that movie.
Before he was Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. was a crooked FBI agent attempting to frame Wesley Snipes in this movie.
Ethan. U.S. Marshals.
That is correct.
It's like The Fugitive, but better. Says no one.
Yeah, exactly. Says no one. Next one. Before he was Colonel Nick Fury, Sam Jackson was attempting to rob a McDowell's fast food restaurant in this movie.
Aaron.
I heard Aaron first.
Boo.
Coming to America.
That is correct. Next one. Before he voiced Ultron, James Spader was the head of the cool kids in this 80s movies, where he pretended not to be interested in Molly Ringwald.
Ethan. Pretty in Pink.
That's correct.
I was trying to think which one.
It's so James Spadery of him to do all the 80s movies, sir.
I really thought I wasn't going to suck at this game. I always suck at these games.
You still got 5 left, buddy.
Oh, here boy.
Time to go on a win streak.
Before he was Captain America, Chris Evans was a high school quarterback challenged in making the girl no one would date.
Ethan. No! Not another teen movie.
That's correct.
Feel free to jump in at any point. You don't have to let him read the whole thing.
Yeah. Next one. Before he was Thor, Chris Hemsworth was saving his wife and newborn son from a giant mining ship in space in this movie.
Aaron. Star Trek.
That is correct.
Wait, what?
He was in 2009 Star Trek.
He's the
captain in the beginning.
He's Kirk's dad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, come on, bros, we gotta get off the ship. I'm staying on it.
Tiberius? No, that's the worst.
Exactly. Next one. Before he voiced Jarvis, Paul Bettany was an imaginary friend to a genius mathematician who later... Ethan.
A beautiful mind.
That is correct. Ethan got it. Tied 4-4, Aaron and Ethan.
How many points do I have?
John with a big zero. Two more. Before he was Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner was defusing bombs.
Aaron.
Jonathan, oh.
Should I give it? Should I let Jonathan try and have it?
No, Aaron, it's too
Aaron, late. What is the answer?
You know what? I'm gonna let this one go to Jonathan.
Jonathan, no, what is the answer?
I will not take your pity.
The Hurt
you
Locker.
You answer the damn question the like you know correct. It.
Last one in a very tight game here between Aaron and Ethan. Last one. Before he was War Machine, Don Cheadle played a man who helped Nicolas Cage glimpse into the life he could have had.
Aaron.
Aaron.
The Family Man.
That is correct. Aaron wins 6-4.
I'm not sure he wins since he knows so much about The Family Man.
They had the U2 song in the trailer. It was good.
It's not a U2 song. That's
No, they had U2 1 in the trailer.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other song they had in the trailer, but from Talking
It's
Heads.
This is not my beautiful.
Yeah. This is not my beautiful life.
And then later they have U2 play.
How did I get here? All right.
Anyway, that was games.
All right. Okay. Did I win? I won that one?
You did win.
I just wanted you to say it again.
I'll tell you didn't.
Feel bad.
I'll tell you who's not coming back to the show.
All right. That was games. Let's move on to Out Now Presents What's Out Now. These are movies coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, or streaming this week. And we have a lot of stuff here. I'm going to read through it all. So here we go. First up, we have Selma.
Yeah, see it.
The Pyramid. That was a movie that happened.
I don't even know what that is.
There you go. I think it was a found footage movie set in Egypt.
It is. It actually stars Ashley Henshaw, who I went to high school with.
Oh, there wow. You go. If I had the xylophone out, I'd do the More You Know theme right then. But Black Sea. I like this movie. It's Jude Law submarine thriller.
Oh, that's the World War II like gold thing.
Yeah, there's a Nazi sub at the bottom of the ocean of the Black Sea, and Jude Law gets a band of merry men together to go get it. And we have The Last 5 Years. I believe this is a musical of Anna Kendrick that none of us saw, apparently, since no one's reacted.
Yeah, I wanted to see it, but it wasn't playing anywhere near me, so I didn't get a chance to, but I'm excited to watch it.
Oh.
Then we have Mr. Turner with Timothy Spall, which I really like. This is a Mike Lee film. I really like this movie.
A lot of awards for Academy, or a lot of nominations for Academy Award.
Got a couple. That said, so many people are going to be bored by this movie, I can tell you right now. I really liked it. Black or White, which starred Kevin Costner deciding which one he was, I believe. I don't know. I made that.
Pretty believable.
Let's see. We have the first season of Halt and Catch Fire. I was okay with this. Did anyone watch Halt and Catch Fire?
Did not. No.
I tried to watch the first few, but I just adding another hour drama to the lineup. It wasn't quite that good.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that great. You got a second season, so. Masked season. Of good shows, Masters of Sex Season 2 comes out this week on Blu-ray and DVD. This is a show I really like, and I'm very happy that it's still going. Let's see. Mad Max Shout Factory Collector's Edition comes out on Blu-ray this week. Not the best Mad Max movie in the series, but certainly one to enjoy. And I'm excited to get a hold of this disc, get some new features and stuff. Let's see. A new edition of Goodfellas comes out this week. Has a whole new video transfer on there, so you know, for those that want to have Goodfellas looking better than ever at home, you can do that.
There you go.
Then we get a host of Spielberg movies coming out. I mean, these all came out in the Spielberg like box set that came out last year, but this now we get some of the ones that never been on Blu-ray, a standalone release. We get 1941, Duel, The Sugarland Express, Always, and Munich. And there's at least one movie in there that I'm a huge fan of.
Duel.
Then there's a bunch of others. No, Munich is. I love Munich. I'm a huge Munich fan. But Duel's also very good too. I really like Duel. But not many people are going to be rooting up for Always, I'd imagine.
It's better than 1941.
Better than 1941. There you go. So yeah, those are movies coming out Blu-ray, DVD this week. All right, moving on. Extremely cool. These are films that are currently streaming on Netflix. Some new ones that we picked out here to recommend or something.
Babadook, Netflix.
Babadook is on Netflix. As far as indie horror goes, there's also A Girl Walks Home at Night. This is the Iranian vampire film that I think we mentioned because it came out on Blu-ray a couple weeks ago, but now it's also on Netflix, and I'd certainly recommend that. As well as The Man with the Iron Fist 2. Why not, right?
Yes, why not?
RZA's back. Another round with The Man of the Iron Fists. It's on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet. But I feel like I'm going to watch that and Wolf Cop back to back and have a great night at Netflix.
I feel as though you if you enjoy one more than the other, I'd like to know which.
I'll let you know. All right. Next week's show. I don't know, Abe. I have no idea what we're going to do.
We've seen the release schedule and
we're not racing to see Hot Pursuit. So
that's correct.
We'll figure something out. We'll let you know. Maybe we'll watch. Like I'm almost done with Daredevil. Have you even started Daredevil yet?
I'm on episode 4, I believe.
Maybe we can finish Daredevil and then talk about that next week.
Might be able to do that. We'll let you guys know.
We'll figure it out. Yeah. All right. Well, with that said, last thing here. What should people go see now, and what do you plan to see next, Jonathan? What do you recommend people go see in theaters right now?
In theaters, I guess go see Fast 7 again. I haven't really seen anything else that's in theaters right now other than Fast 7 and Avengers. So I want to go see Ex Machina. So maybe I should just blindly say that people should seek that out.
Good answer. Good. I like that one. Ethan, what should people go see in theaters right now?
Besides, just seeing Avengers Age of Ultron just for the big screen wow factor, Ex Machina is definitely the movie to go see right now. It's fantastic and absolutely lives up to the hype.
And what do you plan to see next?
Mad Max Fury Road.
Cool.
Oh, yeah, that was... I didn't do the next. That's what I want to see next, too.
Abe?
Definitely recommend all the movies that Ethan and John said, which are Avengers and also Ex Machina. And then in terms of what I'm seeing next, I have no idea. Largely don't know.
Probably Mad Max, then.
Maybe Maggie?
If it spreads, I guess.
Yeah.
I'll be seeing Ex Machina. I'd be recommending Ex Machina. I also plan to see Tangerines next. This is the last of the foreign films that were nominated for Oscars this year. And I've seen all the others, so I'm excited to see this one just because I've had a good time seeing the nominated foreign films this past year. And it's currently playing around me. Cool. That's it, guys. That's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodeiszeke.com, where you can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at Rant Hollywood. And in my Facebook page, just look up Aaron Neuwirth, and you can find it. I have all the things that I write about there. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose, hashtag Veep season 4.
Okay. Jonathan, where can people find more of your work online?
If you're interested in getting Los Angeles news, that's what I write for the Parkland Brain News and Beverly Press. Just visit beverlypress.com. And you can read up about stuff like the current election, city elections, or what's going on with the Greek theater and who's going to run that in the future. Hint, not the current people.
Spoiler alert. Just
buried the lead there.
Ethan?
What?
Where can people find more of your work?
Oh, sorry. I was confused. now I am located at Slash Film. Monday will be my first official day over there. I also still do stuff occasionally at Geek Nation, mostly TV news and reviews of new episodes of Saturday Night Live. And you can find me on Twitter at Ethan_Anderton.
Great. You can... hold on. My xylophone up still. You can find all the other episodes about Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes and at Stitcher, as well as all the past episodes at hhwled.com. And there's also fun other shows there, including the Walking Dead TV podcast, Half Hour Waste, and other cool shows like that.
Yeah, you can also listen to our archives over at outnow.podomatic.com, as well as soundcloud.com/outnowpodcast, where we'll probably post some special content, as well as have the old episodes.
You can feel free to email us your thoughts on Avengers and this summer's movie slate and more at outnowpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And lastly, feel free to follow our Tumblr page, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. Jonathan, Ethan, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Hey, you're having me.
Yeah, glad to get you all guys on.
Good conversation this week, too.
Good conversation. Certainly a good, good amount of effort to get this whole thing going, given the audio problems and miscommunication and what have you. But we all did it, guys. We assembled.
Thanks. There.
And until next week when we talk about something, figure that out. That's going to do it. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye.
since we played some of the trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron.
I didn't watch the other ones because I stopped after.
Well, now you have to make it up, Abe.
No.
This is your punishment.
I have no strings.
Yeah. Strings on me. I wanted to save the world, not destroy. No, I don't know where that's coming from. That's not right.
Just do your best Kobe Smulders.
Sir!
That's pretty good. Sold.
She's very stern. All
right. That was enough for me. Jeez. Oh, boy. All right. That got me.
Sir!
I don't know what she says in the movie.
All right.
But she definitely says, sir.